One of the things that I enjoy doing when I'm interested to get a new tool is to look around and notice and find, search, which one is a more worthy tool to invest in, which one is better. So I found these video recordings that have the showdown, the conflict between tools. They put them to test to see which one is better, which one performs better, which one has a better value for your money. All those things together. And there's these great videos that do that, that contrast, compare, show strengths and weaknesses of various tools. Well, friends, in the passage we're about to look at today, Jesus wants to compare and evaluate not tools, but giving. Giving. Jesus is going to show us a more valuable giving. Because in God's economy, His people are called to give to the Lord. Would you open God's word to Luke chapter 21? We'll be reading from verse 1 to verse 4. Luke chapter 21, we'll be reading from verse 1 to verse 4. It is the shortest passage I've read in this series through the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 21, from verse 1 to verse 4. And by the way, as you turn there, I was looking at my notes. Today marks the 60th sermon in the series. So we are just a few chapters away from finishing this book. Let's listen to God's word as we work our way through this marvelous, wonderful Gospel of Luke. God's word to us this morning is the following. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. And he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." This is the word of the Lord for us this morning. Would you join me in prayer? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for revealing to us your Son Jesus. As we read and hear about him, what he did, what he taught. Father, I need your word. I need your help. I need your Holy Spirit in the act of proclaiming your word this morning. Would you also, Father, give us your Holy Spirit so that we may hear it well? Give us open hearts and use your presence among us to write your truths upon our hearts. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. This short passage that focuses on giving teaches us one main lesson. The giving Jesus encourages us to practice is the giving that reflects the gospel. The giving that Jesus encourages us to practice is the giving that reflects the gospel. As we look at this passage, there's going to be two main parts, two points that will unfold this message for us. Number one, Jesus looks at our giving. Jesus looks at our giving. And second, we'll see that Jesus shows a more valuable giving. Jesus shows a more valuable giving. Let's look at each of these and how this passage unfolds for us. Jesus looks at our giving. Jesus is in the temple. It's the last few days before he is about to suffer and be crucified. He just denounced the corruption of the leadership of the temple. He had just confronted the scribes and the religious leaders for devouring the widows' houses, for misusing their possessions, for wanting the possessions of others in corrupt ways. And here Jesus is presenting two characters: rich givers and a widow. It's important for us as we look at this contrast of characters. They both give to the Lord. The contrast in this story is not between those who give and those who don't. Notice the setting in the story is Jesus is looking at worshipers who give to the Lord. Now, perhaps you're a visitor today. Whether this is your first time with us or you've been with us before, you're regularly attending, perhaps the idea of giving to God of your money is a new and strange truth to hear. How we make it clear that giving to the Lord is not an obligation if you're visiting with us. We don't know if you're a Christian or not. If you're not a Christian, please don't worry about giving money to the church. God wants something else from you first. God wants something from you way more important than money. God wants you to trust Him, to love Him with your heart. God wants you to give Him your life. And just giving money to the church in place of trusting Him, loving Him, and giving Him your heart, just giving money to the church will not help you at all. So I just want to put it plainly, if you're not a Christian, don't worry about giving money to the church. It will not help your situation. What God wants you to do is to give your life to Him, to repent of your sins and trust in Jesus. The call to give money to God is a responsibility. It's a call given to those who have already given their lives to the Lord. It's a call to those who have repented their sins and have entrusted God, entrusted themselves to the Lord Jesus. So if you are a Christian, the call to give to the Lord is a call for you. I hope that if you are a Christian, the call to give money to the Lord, to give money to God, is not a new or strange idea. Certainly, it should not be a new and strange call for the members of this church. I say this because notice how Luke points out that Jesus took the time to notice people's giving at the temple, and that Jesus took time to comment on people's giving at the temple. Did you see how this passage begins? Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box, and He saw a poor widow that put in two small copper coins. For Jesus to see that a widow put in two small copper coins means that Jesus was standing there in the temple close enough to the place where people were putting the offerings. And Jesus saw what people gave. And Jesus makes a surprising comment about giving to God. Now, some people don't like it when churches talk about giving. Some of you are smiling. I understand some churches and some preachers talk about giving all the time and do so in unhelpful ways. But just because some people talk about giving in unhelpful ways does not mean that we should not talk about giving. It is part of God's word. God talked about giving in the Bible. And here Jesus himself is talking about giving. God wants his people to give of their financial resources as an act of worship. But it's also an act of obedience, because God commands us to give to him of what he gives us. Jesus not only saw worshipers give money in the temple, Jesus not only saw a woman giving money to the temple, Jesus also wants us to see this woman. Through this word, through the teaching Jesus gave, Jesus wants you and I today, 2,000 years later, to put our eyes on this woman who gave. If you were the temple treasurer or the leadership of the temple watching over the finances, imagine you were on the finance team of the Jerusalem temple. Which of the donors would you be tempted to look after more carefully? The rich ones or the poor ones? Jesus, in this text, wants to focus our attention on this poor widow and her gift. It is she who became the focus of attention in Jesus' teaching in this moment. Now, Jesus is not discounting the other worshipers who gave to the temple finances. This is not to put down the other givers, but Jesus chooses to highlight the giving of a poor widow. If you have a view of the Christian life where giving is not a way of worshiping God, I want to challenge you to consider that giving to God and giving to the place of worship is a biblical command, a biblical teaching. Part of our own statement of faith says this, and we've read it earlier in the service. I'm just going to read part of it, not the whole. It says, according to the scriptures, Christians should contribute of their means cheerfully, regularly, systematically, proportionately, and liberally, meaning generously, for the advancement of the Redeemer's causes on earth. And even our own church covenant, which summarizes the commitments we make as members of this congregation, we make the following commitment as members of this church. We will contribute cheerfully, generously, and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. If we're followers of Jesus, the call to give to God, the call to support the ministry of places of worship like ours, the call to advance, to support the advancement of the gospel, supporting missionaries, supporting what's going on around the world, it's a commitment that we make to one another and to the Lord. Christian parents, as you teach your children about the Lord, as you teach your children about what it means to love the Lord and to follow the Lord, I want to encourage you to teach them to give to the Lord, even out of the allowances you give them or the small money they might make if they start working. Teach them from an early age to love the Lord, even through their giving. Because God sees our giving. God looks at our giving. And in this passage, Jesus draws attention to people giving. You know, in everything we do in life, we give naturally to that which we love. Have you noticed that? We spend money on things which we love and enjoy. A few months ago, I had an episode where I found a little gadget, a little tool that helps sharpen knives very effectively. It was only $10. Love it. I loved it so much that I thought, oh, my parents need to get it, need to have this. So I ordered it and just shipped it to them, made sure that they have it. Why? Because I loved what I found, and I wanted others to have this little gadget. We love spending money on that which we love, on that which we find helpful. And we want to do it both for ourselves, and we are happy to encourage others or even gift others with similar things. We do this naturally. You don't have to be a Christian to do this. But the point for us as Christians is when we love God, when we see the beauty of God being in our lives, we should naturally want to spend our resources so that both we and others get to enjoy the same God that we enjoy. Now, for that, you have to be a Christian. To do that, you have to be a Christian. To do that, you must enjoy God yourself, to love Him, to walk with Him, to want Him to be known to others. So, brothers, when we, and sisters, when we give to the Lord, when we give our offerings to support the work that the Lord is doing in our church, we support the work of supporting the staff, keeping up this building, giving to our missionaries. Everything that happens here, humanly speaking, costs money. When you give to the Lord through the ministry of this congregation, you support what the Lord is doing in us and through this congregation. But again, this is both a responsibility and a privilege, because we give to that which we love. We give to that which we enjoy. So let me just encourage you, if you're a Christ follower, if giving is not a part of your rhythm of following Jesus, let me encourage you to consider growing in this grace of giving. You may say, Pastor, I don't have much. I'm a college student. I'm a high school student. I don't have a job. Or I'm a young adult. I'm barely now beginning my career. I don't have much. Perhaps you're like, I'm in midlife. But right now, just things are hard. Inflation, living paycheck to paycheck. Friends, it's easy to find excuses not to give. But ask the Lord to help you reevaluate your expenses. And ask yourself if you're spending all your income only on yourself and you have little to nothing left to give to the Lord. As a society, we are addicted to spending more than we make. And all the world of advertisement makes us cultivate that hunger for more. And then, of course, it's not an easy situation where credit cards have come up and provided a means for you to enjoy that which you cannot afford on the promise that you'll pay later. And sadly, this problem is not just for society out there. It's a problem found among Christians as well. Perhaps part of our giving problem is that we fail to put guardrails on how much we spend on ourselves. And then at the end of the month, we have nothing left, and we simply tell God we have nothing left for Him. But Jesus is choosing an object lesson for the theme about giving. He's choosing the object for His lesson, a person who's lacking resources, who's poor, to teach us that lacking resources is not the problem of our lack of giving. Jesus is focusing our attention on this poor widow's giving to teach us that lack of resources is not the problem of our lack of giving. And this is not an isolated example in the Bible. We've heard about the widow in 1 Kings 17. We hear about churches in the New Testament. One example of churches is in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, where the Apostle Paul speaks to the church in Corinth and wants to encourage them to be generous, to support and give financially. And he gives them the example of churches in Macedonia. Here's how the Apostle Paul describes them. "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part." The churches of Macedonia are praised because they were generous and gave out of their need and lack of resources. And so did this widow. The widow in Luke 21 is case in point that being poor or lacking resources is not the problem for a lack of giving to the Lord. Can you imagine yourself standing before the throne of God, before his judgment, next to this widow? Jesus wants you and I to look at this widow now, to see what was going on in her, with her, so that we may not find ourselves before that seat of judgment on the last day, finding ourselves ashamed or regretful that we have misused the resources that the Lord has given us. So if you are a Christ follower, look at how Jesus looks at our giving. Look at how Jesus wants us to look at this woman. I trust that this message will encourage you to commit to integrate giving to the Lord as an act of worship. That's the first thing we look at. Jesus looks at our giving. But as we look at the rest of this passage, God is not begging us to give him some spare change. God is not sufficiently delighted merely in giving to him out of what we have left. And that's where it gets more dicey. If you thought the first half was a little uncomfortable, point number two. Thank you, brother. Point number two, Jesus shows a more valuable giving. Jesus shows a more valuable giving. Now, if there was a platinum list of donors for the givers in the temple in Jerusalem, which of these characters do you think had a chance to make it on the platinum list of donors to the treasury of the temple in Jerusalem? After looking some time to the people who gave, to the worshipers who came with their resources and gave money to the temple, Jesus evaluates their giving. And he gives a verdict on who gave more. Verse 3. "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them." Wow. Notice Jesus is not saying she gave more than one rich man. Jesus is saying she has put in more than all of them combined. Didn't Jesus see that she had put in only two coins? And the two coins, the way they are described, commentators think they're like the smallest currency available. Did Jesus fail his math class? Or did Jesus lack accounting skills? I know the softwares that keep track of money did not exist back then. How can Jesus say that this woman who gave two small coins, gave more than all of them? Jesus was calculating the value of giving differently. And it shows in this evaluation, we see that Jesus' value system for giving is different than the way we evaluate giving. To us, what counts more is simply the numbers given. To Jesus, what counts is the value of the sacrifice. Look at verse 4. Jesus gives us the explanation why he's saying that this woman gave more than all of them. Verse 4. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. This is why Jesus is saying that this woman had put more than all. This reveals a principle of sacrificial giving. Because what makes our giving more valuable in the sight of God is not the amount you give, but the amount you sacrifice. That's the more valuable giving. The sacrificial giving is the giving that comes with a cost to us. And when there's no cost to us, God doesn't value it that much. When it costs us, God values it more. I love how J.C. Ryle put it beautifully. These words teach us that Christ looks at something more than mere amount of men's gifts. He looks at the degree of self-denial which their giving entails upon them. He would have us know that some people appear to give much to religious purposes who in God's sight give very little, and that some appear to give very little who in God's sight give very much. Oh, friends, on one side, this principle of sacrificial giving is a challenge to our giving. Our giving should not be measured simply by the amount we give, but by what sacrifices we're willing to make in order to give to the Lord. The point of our giving is not simply in the fact that we give or the amount we give, but that in our giving, is there a level of sacrifice we are making? This principle of sacrificial giving is not only a challenge, so that we're not just merely satisfied with giving an amount, but consider the sacrifice you're making to give that amount. But this principle of sacrificial giving is also an encouragement, particularly to those Christians who don't have much, who live paycheck to paycheck. It may feel like you're not able to give much money, but from the little that you have, are you giving sacrificially in some way, even if that amount is small? Because God looks with great delight upon the giving that comes out of self-denial, upon the giving that comes with sacrifice. Well, friends, if we as Christians, if the standard of our living, if what we do with our money is the same as our non-Christian friends who have the same amount of money, something's off. Something's off. So what is the level of sacrifice that Jesus observed in this widow? Look at verse 4. She, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on. Here's how another Bible teacher put it beautifully and challengingly. For Jesus, the value of a gift is not the amount given, but the cost to the giver. It's not how much is given, but how much is retained for self. Others gave what they could spare. The widow spares nothing. Others gave from their surplus. The widow gives from her need all that she had to live on. Oh, friends, this is what God delights in the heart that values the Lord so highly that it is willing to give to Him and not withhold giving even when we have needs. In contrast, giving only out of surplus or out of our abundance or out of our leftovers is no show of what we truly love and prioritize. Now, practically, think of the way you think about your monthly budget. Hopefully you have a budget. Hopefully you keep track of what you spend. It's unwise not to keep track of how you're spending your money. But when you think about monthly budget and expenses, do you think of offering to the Lord only after you've put down all your expenses? Or do you prioritize what percentage you want to give to the Lord first and then work out the rest of the expenses? You see, there's a way of thinking even about our monthly expenses that treats the Lord or giving to the Lord as first or last, as a priority or as a leftover. And God wants us to think about putting God as a priority and not treating Him as a leftover. Decide in your heart, what is the Lord wanting you to give sacrificially? And then work out the rest of your budget, the rest of your life expenses. Jesus prioritized this poor widow's giving because she gave all that she had. You say, is that what God is asking me to do? I don't know. That's between you and the Lord. I am not saying that unless you give all that you make, you're unfaithful. That's not the point of this passage. The point of this passage is to show the principle of sacrificial giving. This woman's total devotion to the Lord showed up in how she used her money. And no one else was able to see that total devotion except Jesus. He saw that total devotion in this woman's heart and valued it. And Jesus wants us to value it as well. And just remember, what a refreshing thought it must have been for Jesus to see in the temple that he had called earlier a den of robbers. A temple led by corrupt leadership that devoured the houses of widows. For Jesus to see a worshiper that was totally devoted to God and to his promises. How refreshing it must have been for Jesus to see that. It's not a coincidence for Luke to include this story about this poor widow's giving at the end of Jesus' ministry before going to the cross. This widow here at the temple is the bookend character to another widow that Luke introduced us to at the beginning of Jesus' life on earth. Remember Hannah? Or Anna? The widow we met in Luke chapter 2. Both of these widows were described by what they lacked. Anna lacked a husband. She had been widow for a long time. This woman here in chapter 21 lacks finances. And yet their devotion to the Lord is not obstructed, is not affected simply because they lack. They served the Lord. They were devoted to the Lord from their lackings. I wonder if this woman in chapter 21, if this poor widow, I wonder if that act of giving her last two coins was a hard decision for her. I wonder how much she wrestled in her heart and mind of whether or not to keep those two last coins she had for some rainy days, or to give it to the Lord. I don't know. I don't know if that battle was a long battle or if it was an easy decision for her. But unbeknown to her, the Son of God happened to be there next to the giving box when this poor widow dropped the two coins. And he was watching, and he was noticing her giving as she dropped the last two coins that she had. And Jesus not only noticed her giving, Jesus praised her giving. And Jesus wanted all the world to know about her giving. But unknown to that poor widow, who wrestled with whether or not it's worth giving to God those last two coins, unbeknown to that poor widow, the one who noticed her total sacrificial giving was the one who a few days later would give his very life to fulfill God's promises to save a people for himself. Friends, Jesus praised this woman's giving, sacrificial giving, because she spared nothing from giving to God. And Jesus himself would spare nothing of his life. He would give everything he had, his very life, so that worshipers who turn to God in repentance and faith could be reconciled to God. Friends, this is the great news of the gospel story, that Jesus gave everything he had. Jesus left the Father's home in heaven. He gave up all the glory that he enjoyed. He took on the weaknesses of human flesh. He took on more than just the weaknesses and limitations of the human flesh. He took on the suffering he did not deserve to have. He took on the pain of death by crucifixion, so that through his act of giving himself, giving everything he's got, sinners who repent and trust in Jesus could have the life of God in them. At the heart of the gospel message is the most generous and sacrificial gift of all creation. Jesus himself, the Son of God, giving himself for sinners. And he left it all there in Jerusalem. And those who follow Jesus are enabled by God's Spirit to give their lives to the Lord, to respond to the Lord by repenting of their sins and following and entrusting this Jesus, and to live their lives for Jesus. You can't live like this woman without casting yourself entirely on God's promises. And those promises have been fulfilled in Jesus. You can't live like this woman without embracing Jesus and loving him, for he spared nothing so that we could be saved. So the more valuable giving, friends, is not about the money you give, but about the amount you sacrifice. Because Jesus sacrificed it all. You and I are freed from the bondage to the cares of this world, so that we can give sacrificially of all that God gives us. The giving that Jesus encourages in this passage is the giving that reflects the gospel. Now, here's a crazy part. This woman could give this sacrificially because she trusted in God's promises before she got to see how God would fulfill those promises in Jesus Christ. This woman trusted in God's promises before she could see that the one who noticed her would be the one who would give his life for her and for all those who would trust themselves on God's promises. So if this woman could trust in God's promises and be so sacrificial in her giving before she saw the gospel displayed and fulfilled in Jesus, how much more you and I, believer, how much more you and I can look to Jesus and be motivated to give sacrificially. But listen, you cannot give sacrificially without living sacrificially. You can't live sacrificially without Jesus. Let me repeat that again. You cannot give sacrificially without living sacrificially. And you cannot live sacrificially without Jesus. That's why at the beginning of this message I said, if you don't have Jesus, don't worry about giving money to the church. You can't. And he won't help you. Give your life to Jesus. Repent of your sins. Trust in him. And if that's your desire, we would love to talk with you after the service. But if you're a Christian, we have a model of someone who has given himself, given everything. And following this, Jesus calls us to give sacrificially. This is a more valuable giving. The giving that counts, not what we give, but what we sacrifice. Because Jesus sacrificed it all. Let's pray. Father in heaven, help us to have the eyes of Jesus, to see and to value what you see and what you value. Help us to see that it's not about socioeconomic levels. It's not about our abilities and our possessions. It's about the heart that values you more than what we have. Father, we pray that you would work in our hearts and help us to value Jesus more so that we may give our lives to you and allow you to use our lives as you see fit. Work your good purposes in us and through us, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen.